Thank you, Megan. Let's open our Bibles to the book of Romans, chapter 10. I'm going to read verse 6 of chapter 10. Romans, chapter 10, verse 6. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is, to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is, to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is, the word of faith which we preach. There are so many voices in the world today, and sometimes it's confusing to most of us in trying to sort out which voice we should listen to. I think I'm correct in saying that for every 30-minute segment of television, there'll be from 7 to 9 minutes of that 30 minutes dedicated to commercials. I think maybe that our TV guides ought to list the commercials with some program involved somewhere. A lot of voices, some saying, whatever you do, don't take this, and others saying, whatever you do, don't forget to take it. Aspirin, for instance. They're good for you. But you hear someone else, and they're bad for you. And I could go on and on about food, and I know it very well. You know, whether to eat or not eat, whether to starve yourself to death or die from obesity. It's a puzzle, isn't it? And as a person of faith, and I believe that's a good description of God's people, sometimes we do not listen to the voice of faith. Faith has a voice. And if we do not listen to the voice of faith, we will not adequately serve our God. And that's what Paul is writing about in this scripture, verse 6. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. That is, faith has a message. And the first 5 verses of chapter 10 have to do with the Jewish segment of the church in Rome that did not listen to the voice of faith, but they listened to the voice of religion. Paul said as he introduced this subject, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." And we're alerted by that statement that these people were not saved. Why were they not saved? Well, Paul tells them and us why they weren't saved. Paul said, "For I bear them record that they have a zeal for God." They're very religious. They are committed to their religion. They have a burning zeal. And that's what the word zeal is. It means to be hot-blooded. They are hot-blooded toward God. But there's a flaw, and that is their zeal is not according to knowledge. That is, they have a zeal, but that zeal is not predicated upon knowledge. Their concepts are wrong, if you please. "For they being ignorant of God's righteousness." Now remember that these are the descendants of Abraham, who is the father of the faithful. They are descendants of Moses, who gave to them a way to worship and a way to serve God and a way to live their lives. I know it's the law of Moses and it is stringent, and they loved it. They loved the difficulty of living a life that pleased God, because it cost them hours and it cost them time, it cost them energy, it cost them abstinence in many ways. They fasted, they prayed long prayers. They made themselves uncomfortable in order to make themselves comfortable before God. They have a zeal of God, and this zeal is not based upon their knowledge that they should have gained or gathered from the law of Moses as they studied the scriptures and as they listened to the prophets and as they read the Psalms and the poetical books. This ignorance had instilled in them a futile attempt to bring about their own righteousness in the sight of God. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God, and therefore they are unrighteous. They are zealous toward their faith, that is, the Mosaic system. But they missed the point that the law of Moses was their schoolmaster, not to lead them to themselves, but to lead them to Christ. They missed that point, which is the most important point about the law of Moses and the most important point about the New Testament. That righteousness is not something we earn. That is righteousness in the sight of God. It's not something that we pay for, that we deserve because we've done certain things. And of this they were ignorant. And they should have understood with the death of Christ that Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. That is, when faith comes, that law is not necessary anymore. And when the preaching of the gospel does more clearly what the prophets could write and state in the Old Testament, then righteousness must come by faith, because Christ, when he died on the cross, ended the Judaic system as a form of worship, as a form of serving God. Now, Moses describes the righteousness which is of the law. That is, here's what Moses said about the righteousness that comes by the law. That the man which doeth those things shall live by them. And this is the problem that the Jewish nation had. They knew the law, but they didn't live by the law. They didn't live by the law because righteousness does not come by living by the law. They tried. They observed the Sabbath, the special days, the holy days. They made the sacrifices. They made the offerings. But these were all outward, and the outward exercises never changed the inward man. They were not born again because they were circumcised. They were not born again because they kept the Sabbath. They were not born again because they studied the Jewish system. They were not born again because they knew Isaiah and Ezekiel and all the other major and minor prophets. And so they were religiously lost, heatedly obeying the law. Meticulous in the measurement of the tithe from even the lowest herb that grew in their garden. And all of this because they did not listen to the voice of faith. Because faith had a statement to make. It had an encouragement to offer. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise: say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven? Now that doesn't make much sense to us from where we stand today and look at the Bible. Don't say in your heart, who's going to ascend up into heaven? Well, why would someone want to ascend up into heaven? Why would the religious leaders, why would the people who have studied and understood the teaching of Moses, why would they suddenly say, we need someone to go into heaven? What would be the mission? What would be the purpose? Well, in parenthetical statement, Paul answered that question by saying, that is, to bring Christ down from above. The scriptures taught that the deliverer, the Messiah, if you please, would come down from God, that he would come out of heaven. But here we have waited for hundreds of years, decade upon decade, year upon year, Sabbath after Sabbath, Passover after Passover, and yet he has not come. Surely we need some way, according to our intellect, according to our reasoning power, surely we can send someone up to heaven to find out what's wrong. Why hasn't this promised one come down? Or Paul looks at the other side of the coin and says, or if that seems too unreasonable, or if that seems past our ability, who shall descend into the deep? That is, who will go underground? That is, to bring up Christ again from the dead. That is, Christ was brought up out of the grave, but was that really Christ? Is he still in the grave? That is, should we look somewhere under the earth to bring up the anointed one? This is the voices of the people, if you please. This is the voice of the priests, if you please. And Paul said, you need to listen to the voice of faith, because it has something to say to us. That is, what does faith say? What is the message of faith? If we'll listen to faith, what will it say to us? And if you don't have faith, you'll not believe the message, because you'll have to believe the message by faith. Moses had many experiences in his life, but I don't think he had to call upon faith any more than he did and listen to the faith any closer than he did when the children of Israel had fled from Egypt and they were crossing the Red Sea, and here came the troops and the chariots. It was certain death. And the voice of faith said to Moses, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And the three Hebrew children who face certain death, they heard the voice of faith which said, you can come through this without even the smell of smoke upon your clothing. And Daniel, relaxed in the lion's den, was relaxed because he heard the voice of faith, and the voice of faith said, I'm going to keep you. I'm not going to take you out of the den. I'm going to keep you in the den, and you will not be harmed. Sometimes, in fact, many times, the voice of faith seems to speak an impossible destiny, an impossible direction, if you please. But people of faith must listen to the voice of faith. What is the voice of the faith in this instance? What is it saying? But what saith it? What does faith say? Well, the word is very close to you. It's within the grasp of your own mental capability. It's even in your mouth. The voice of faith is even in your mouth and in your tongue. That is the word of faith which we preach. The word of faith is the gospel of Jesus Christ in regard to our personal salvation. That is, to achieve righteousness in the sight of God. It's what's being preached. It is so near you. You've heard it. In fact, you could even articulate it. You could even say what faith is calling out to you who are not righteous in the sight of God. Paul said, it's in your heart. Faith is in your heart, and that faith is calling out to you. That is the word of faith which we preach. And here's what it's saying, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. To the person who is unrighteous, to the person who is lost, to the person who is burdened with their sins and transgressions and iniquities, the voice of faith is saying, verse 9, that's its message, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Because, for, and here's the reason why this works. Here's why this is the message of faith, and why when you believe the message of faith and you trust the message of faith, here's what's going on in the inner man. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. The people who lived at this particular time knew very little about the working of the human body in the sense of its connection with the mind. To most of those who lived in the Middle East and were acquainted with the medical learning of the Greeks, who seemed to, and the Egyptians also, people suffered from heat strokes without covering on their head in the sun, this part of the earth. And so they began to reason that this matter that's in the skull of a man is simply a cooling instrument. And if you let that cooling radiator, if you please, get too hot, you're going to have a stroke. You're going to have real serious problems. They knew that the heart pumped blood. They were able to understand this, but they also believed that since we got certain information, when we got that information, our hearts would pound either with grief or joy, that real comprehension has to do something with the heart. Because when there's joyous news, the heart beats faster. It leaps for joy. My heart leapt for joy. Why? Because I heard a certain amount of information that I had been searching for and longing for, and it came. And then to learn of something tragic, there was so much grief that we felt it in our heart, in our soul, in our being. And so this term is used to indicate that which is susceptible to knowledge, that is knowledge that moves us, that penetrates the outer man and reaches into the very soul of a man. And therefore, Paul says, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. Now we're talking about righteousness. We're talking about being right in the sight of God, of having the righteousness that we must have in order to stand before God with our sins forgiven and the promises of heaven secured for us individually. We're standing before God, a clean person, if you please, a person whose sins are forgiven in the past and whose sins in the future are covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. And all the promises that God has made to mankind in this book are His to claim. So it is with the heart that we become righteous in the sight of God, and not because we ignorantly do as some people describe faith, and that is jumping over a cliff and you can't see the bottom. That's dumb. You ought not to do that. You say, I'm on this cliff 300 feet high. Dark, I can't see a thing, so my faith tells me to jump and somehow I won't get hurt. That's stupid. That's stupidity. It's not faith. Faith is based upon the eternal Word of God. You know where you're jumping by faith. Ignorance, you just jump anywhere your flesh dictates or encourages you to jump. That's what was wrong with the Jewish people and their religion. Their flesh was dictating to them, and they were listening to the voice of the flesh. Do this, do that, observe this, and you will be righteous in the sight of God. Punish yourself, starve yourself, and you can eventually find standing before God. That was an ignorant thing to do, even though they had the knowledge that would have given them faith to believe the truth in the book that was printed and circulated among them. Every synagogue had a copy of it. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That's what Paul said. The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. We've preached the truth. Now you know the truth, but let me show you something. Knowing the truth will not save you. You must accept what the truth teaches you about yourself, and what the truth teaches you about God, and what the truth teaches you about how to be righteous in the sight of God. And when we have learned that, and when we possess that knowledge, then by faith, faith tells us you can trust that information. And by faith, we claim that information. We don't carry our prescriptions around in a bottle, hoping that simply their very presence on our body, in our pocket or our purse, will cure our ills. We follow the directions on the bottle, and it says to take two of these every 4 hours. That's what gets you well, not carrying it around in a bottle. And just carrying a Bible around in your hand, or saying you believe the Bible, are saying you were reared in a Christian home, are saying you've been immersed as a person who came forward in a service as a result of some emotional trauma. It's when we know the truth, when we believe the truth and receive the truth, that not only have we heard the voice of faith, we have received the truth that faith speaks to us. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. And here's what the Scripture says. For the Scripture says, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. And that word ashamed, it's taken a new meaning from the years past. It means now to be disappointed, not embarrassed. We think of being ashamed as being humiliated or embarrassed. This word in its original form, original meaning, when the KJV was given to us, meant to be disappointed. Listening to the voice of faith will never disappoint you. It didn't disappoint David when he came before Goliath. It didn't disappoint the Hebrew children. It didn't disappoint. Looked at the 11th chapter of Hebrews where Paul said, we're what? Surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses as to what faith has done and what faith will do. Listen to the voice of faith. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. And this was a startling statement to the Jew. You're not one whit better than a Gentile when it comes to sin. You're not a bit better than a Gentile when it comes to salvation. When it comes to how we are made righteous in the sight of God. You're not a bit better than a Gentile. This tore at their very core of belief. Because they believed themselves to be a special people, and they were. And they believed themselves to be a chosen generation, and they were. They believed themselves to be a very special and peculiar people in the sight of God, and they were. But this isn't what made them safe. It isn't what made them righteous. Because in the sight of God, we're all sinners. Jew and Gentile, Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's what